Good morning. I'm not loud. Hello? I don't need it, Auntie. That breaks my heart. I mean, I can not use it. I'm fine with that too. It's all right. There we go. Good morning. How's everybody? Everybody's doing good, I hope. So? Awesome. Well, I think spring's officially here. Yeah, yay. I know the flowers are coming up looking pretty. We had our first bunch of asparagus. Anybody eat asparagus here? I love asparagus. Yeah, Dad does. Cream asparagus on eggs. Ha, the best, right? But a few announcements. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for everybody who came out yesterday and cleaned. We got a lot of work done. Looks amazing outside. Did a lot of raking, and he had some fool out there with a chainsaw on top of his Jeep cutting stuff. I'm not going to say who that was. Ron Sauer. And but we got a lot done, so I wanted to say thank you very much for coming out and spending the time here on the property and getting it cleaned up. Second thing is WCSC, Tuesday, 1:30. There's going to be a presentation here, and it's for the world of prayer. So if you have time, please come and see that. Everybody's welcome. Come and do that. Health concerns. We all know somebody's sick. It's just going on, and we need to hold them in prayer. Not only them, but how about their providers? You know, so many times we think about the person, but what about their providers that spend the time, go, and hospice workers? You know, they see it, and they see what's going on every day, and I'm... It's hard. It's hard doing hospice. So hold them in prayer. Those with cancer, Libby Thulin, darling gal, hold her in prayer. Hold her parents in prayer, her doctors, everything that's coming up, even the hotels that they're going to, that everything's provided for them. Emily Dare talked with her dad the other day, and... they're struggling. Just hold them in prayer. Nursing homes, our grandmas and grandpas as well. So let's close. I'll pray as praise and worship comes up, and we'll go from there. Gracious Father, merciful Lord, guide us, direct us, fill our hearts, Lord, and give us wisdom. Please, everybody that is just troubled with something, with health, with just strength or just wore out, Lord, I ask that you guide them and protect them today. Look after Vince and his family. Protect them and guide them. Our church, Lord, guide us and protect us. Help us, Lord, to come together, stand firm on your foundation. Lord God, put your words in our mouth. Let our ears hear, O Lord, and let our eyes see. Let our hands and feet, Lord, do your work. Also, Lord, please look after our first responders. Guide them and protect them, Lord. Keep them safe. Let them do their jobs and their duties safely. Let them go home to their families, Lord. Look after our nation as a whole. Help us again, Lord, to become strong in the thought process of in God we trust. Protect our troops as they start to come home with all the horrible things that they've had to do. But when we put the uniform on, Lord, it's what we're called to do. It's what we have to do. Protect them, Lord. Give them safety and courage. Give them ability, Lord, to
come back into society because it's going to be hard. We pray that over them right now. Look after their wives and their husbands and their children. Most of all, Lord, let us always give you praise. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Can we all stand, please?
How great how great is our God, and all to see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God.
Good morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning before we jump into the sermon today. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've created for us and you've made for us so that we can come together and worship and praise, but not only that, to be challenged by you and your word, to be reminded of what's important and to be challenged to live accordingly. And Lord, I just ask that today would be a day in which we can do just that. That we can be challenged by the fact that you love us so deeply that you want the absolute best for us. And that means that you want us to become just like Jesus. Everything we see in Scripture, you say is possible for us. that we can be conformed into the image of God's one and only Son. We can't substitute him or replace him, but we can be like him. And we just ask that you would allow us to become like Jesus today. And not just in this moment on this Sunday, but every day for the rest of our lives. And we ask that today would be a day that we set apart our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength for you. And we put our all on the altar for you. We ask that you'd be with those who are sick and weak. We just ask that you'd be with them right now and make them strong and healthy. We pray, Lord God, that you would guide and direct all who couldn't be here this morning. And I just pray that you come alongside them and bring them encouragement. But most importantly, Lord, may they know the fullness of your love and may they love you fully. Through the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. 9 sermons left. 9, including today. It's kind of crazy because I have to choose my words wisely, but more importantly and easily, it's just follow what Jesus tells us, and I think we'll be all right. It's pretty wild to think that when you have to really focus and choose, you can pick out some really great stuff. And so today we're going to talk about letting love reign in our lives, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 12. So some of you old school folks, get out your Bibles. New techie people, get out your tablets. The rest, if you forgot because you're getting old like me, it'll be on the screen here shortly. But, you know, I think probably where we all need to start is exactly where Jesus said we should and with what's most important. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, we read, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And oh, by the way, the second one is this: Love your neighbor as yourself, for there are no greater commandments than these.'" You know, it's interesting. I see things a little weird. I don't know if you guys have noticed that over the past 9 years. But I look at things and I always, you know, when you've heard it 100 times, you try to find something different. And I look at what this guy is asking Jesus, and it kind of reminds me of all of us today. Because everybody wants to be able to find car insurance that will satisfy the minimum legal requirement at the cheapest possible cost, right? That's what everybody wants. They want to be able to just get the basic coverage they need to drive on the road happily and safely, and that makes them happy, right? Well, that's kind of what I see when I see this teacher of the law asking Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the one that will just get me into heaven?" You know, I sit there and I see that, and I look at it and I go, I like the rich young ruler who was better at this than this teacher of the law. You see, the rich young ruler, he was at least trying to get all 10 in order. He was trying to do his best to follow all of them. Here's this guy asking, what one thing would satisfy God? What would one thing be to make me good enough? And so Jesus speaks to him, and I love what he told the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler's problem was his all was not all on the altar. But if we have to ask the big question, where do we start off to have the best possible foundation to build on or the best place to start out? Jesus cuts straight to the point, and he says, all you have to do is this. Number one, love the Lord your God. You know, that sounds so easy, right? Oh, man, I love God. Don't you? I mean, everybody loves God. It's pretty simple, right? But Jesus doesn't want to leave it to chance. You see, love has so many different layers and levels to it that it's always different for different people. And when you have a little kid comes running up to mommy and says, "Mommy, I love you with all my heart," and wraps his arms around mom's neck and squeezes until she pops. And it's so cute and it's so sweet, right? But when mommy tells that little child no, love is gone pretty quick. It doesn't improve much by the time you hit the teenage years. You see, teenage love is, "I'm in love with you. You look so good to me. You look so lovable. How incredible it must be to be in your presence because you're so beautiful and I just want to love you forever." And then something else shiny goes by, and pretty soon there's other love interests. You see, teenagers typically fall in love with what they see, not who a person really is. Young adults, they're not much better because young adults, "I love how you make me feel." You know, that's got to be a deeper sense of love because, you know, you're fulfilling something for me that no one else can in this moment in time and space. And I love you for that. And you make me feel good about myself or good in other ways. And I just love you. And when you know when love is real, after 50 years of marriage, and you know everything about that person, the good, the bad, the saggy, you know, and you still love them, you're like, that's love. But Jesus doesn't leave anything to our undivided attention. He says this simply. He says, if you want to know what it means to love God, you need to love him with all of your heart. You know, the heart is something that's weird, man. It goes, choo, 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 choo. Or more like whatever it is. Because a heart is automatically divided into four different chambers, but when love enters in, it's fractured into a million little pieces and it changes day by day. But you really can know someone and what's in their heart and how they really love by what really comes out of their mouth and out of them. You know, a lot of times we say we love with all of our heart, but sometimes we're just saying those words because someone else wants to hear them. But God wants more than just your heart. He wants all of it, but he wants more than just that. And he wants to be more than just your backup plan if things go wrong. He wants to have you love him with not only all your heart, he wants all your soul. And you know, the soul is the essence of who we are. It's really who Jesus died to save. You see, the great thing about it is I feel like 80 miles of bad road today, and some of you feel the same as me. And these old bodies are going to get transformed and made new and into something different as Jesus sees fit. But who we are is what he desires. He wants all of our soul. And that's the fact that God loves us and saved us. And he has proven that he desires to save all of us from hell. And that depth of our soul should cause us to put our all on the altar all of the time, where we definitely give everything that we have for him, that he's our first thought in every situation instead of, just like I said earlier, our backup plan if things go wrong. Jesus is way more than just a safety net for us. He deserves everything that we have. You know, unfortunately, God has even been reduced to less than that because he's just someone to blame when things don't go the way we want them. How many of you have ever been disappointed in life? Anybody ever lost somebody to love? Been through one of those love breakups? You know, what's incredible is that God showed us what real love looks like and is like when he did not even shy away from the cross because he loved us so much. And he still loves us that much today. And he wants us to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul. But we can't do that until we start loving him with all of our minds. You know, you have to look at his word to have your mind and thoughts transformed into what it can become. You know, everybody's looking, trying to find some new thing. And I've had people come to me, well, what about this and what about this? And I said, man, I'm just really trying to take care of figuring out these 66 books of the Bible right there, packed between the cover of this. And if I can just get this down, I'll be happy trying to figure that out. But my life doesn't measure up to this. How about yours? You know, there's a lot of us who think different things and we go after things differently. But the crazy thing about it is that all of us have things in our mind that aren't right. We think things about God that just aren't true. And he wants to take our entire lifetimes and work through us and work through his word to transform our minds, because he knows if he can transform how we think, he can transform how we feel, and he can have our hearts, and he will transform our very souls into what we were meant to be. You know, you've been waiting to do this for a long time. Turn to the person next to you. You guys are going to miss that someday. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't think right sometimes. No, you don't. I don't. In other words, you are off your rocker. And you know, we all were there once. We've all been off our rockers. Kat's still like sitting on the porch step. She ain't even got into a rocker yet. But here we are. We're all off our rockers because at one time we didn't even believe and trust in Jesus. But most of us have made that shift, and we've all kind of begun to think differently. But we needed to go beyond that little first step of trusting Jesus and saying, oh, he loved me enough to die for me, so that's good enough for me. We need to know what that looks like in our lives every day. Because you can't change what you don't know is wrong. And so when people stop at salvation with Jesus and say, that's good enough for me, it's not good enough for him. Because he wants everything. And you can't really know him if you don't know. You can't really love him if you don't know him. And the only way you'll ever really know who he is looking at his word, not just listening to Vince or any other preacher. You'll know more about him, but until you sit down and study the word and read daily out of his word, you'll never understand how great his love is for you and how you can love him back in return. That's why Isaiah 1:18 through 20 is so important. It says, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And you know, sometimes, folks, our sin is so glaring to other people. It looks like we're painted in red, giant, gaudy red lipstick all day long. But the problem is, we don't even know that's... sin is sin until we know what Jesus says about it. And that's why it's so important for us to dig into his word, because when we realize that Jesus died to set us free from that and forgive us for it, what we can realize is that, you know, we can do better than this. We all can do better than we are right now. Because yes, it is true that God desires to save us and to give us an eternal life. But he's also willing to invest all of his resources to transform us from deserving of hell to fit for heaven. And the only way that's going to happen is if we spend time in his word. If you're not doing that, if we're not doing that, then what's going to happen is this. We will never change, and no one will ever see the reason that they need Jesus. For so long, many of us have done the same wrong thing all the time. I still remember one of the first lead pastorate I ever had at this little church in Indiana. And there was this old guy that got up, and they still did Sunday school openings back in the day. And I probably told you this story because it's an old story, but he got up and told this story about, it was Chuck Grimm. He gets up and tells this story about this woman who decided to make Thanksgiving dinner for her family for the first time. And she said, I got to cut the tail off the turkey. It didn't make any sense to her husband. And he said, why are you doing that? And she goes, because that's what my mom always did. And she said, Mom, why did you do that? And she said, well, that's because that's what Grandma always did. So they called Grandma. Grandma, why did you do that? Why did you cut that little stubby thing off the back and stuff? And they said, because my turkey never fit in the pan. There was no particular reason for why they did what they did, but they did what they did because they saw someone else doing it. How many of us are doing things with our lives that we don't know why we're doing it, but we're doing it because someone else did it? And that might be a good thing. But how many of us are doing things wrong in our lives and don't even know what's wrong because we haven't taken time to look into God's word to see what he says about it? You know, one of the things is God wants all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I really believe that's what all Christians really desire to do, to please God in every way. But we can't do that unless we're willing to dig into his word and let it transform us. And you've heard the old saying, the problem with living sacrifices is living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar when things get tough or the heat gets hot. But the decision comes, do we stay in the fire and let him refine us? Do we stay on the altar knowing that he is there with us and going to see us through? You see, that's where it comes into your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. We need to love him with everything, even when it doesn't make sense. If we're doing it God's way, then it's the right way. I saw someone posted earlier on Facebook about this, and my wife put it on there. Wrong is wrong no matter how many people are doing it. Right is right even if no one's doing it. That was pretty good. I even liked that on my wife's Facebook page. Good job, honey. The bad thing is so many times we're doing wrong and we're doing sin and we don't really care what even God thinks. I know, but God, you'll forgive me. It's all right. And it's not. It just isn't. Because if Jesus died to set us free from sin, then we shouldn't be doing the sins. Because if we're choosing sin over loving him, maybe we don't love him at all. You know, a lot of people say that they love God. I've seen thousands of Christians over the past 30 years claiming that claim. And I've really, really seen a few who do really love him. And the rest of us fall in somewhere in between those saints in the church and Satan outside the church. And you know, we can get lost in comparing ourselves. I'm better than the devil by this much. I'll never be as good as so-and-so. Good thing I'm counting on grace. Let's stop comparing to each other and start comparing ourselves to Jesus. There's where the rubber meets the road, whether you love God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because you look at what he did. We just celebrated Easter. Remember that? Oh. Seriously, God, if there's any other way, but you know what? God, I'll do it because I love you. We all can and need to do better. But we're saved by grace through faith, aren't we, Pastor? Yeah, we are. But you run into that troublesome little thing where it says in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, what good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds to basically back it up? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there's one God? Good. Even the devil and the demons believe that, and at least they shudder. You know, that passage of Scripture rained havoc on Martin Luther, and I think it should shake us up a little bit today. You see, there's a lot of people who never go farther than faith, and their faith never shows up in their life and how they live. See, boys and girls, if you claim to love God, you're going to have ample opportunity to prove it by loving unlovable people. And you'll prove your faith in him and your love for him by how you live your life for him each day. None of us are perfect at this, and we can all do better. And I'm hoping that you will. Because one of the tough things that God will always do is he will bring difficult people into our lives to love. And there's no better demonstration in how we live out our love for God than how we love those he died to save. You see, it's not just about you and me, it's about them too. Those unlovable people that we don't want a thing to do with. Those people who have hurt us and done us wrong. You know, Jesus said, all right, he says, look, forget about the works thing. All I want you to do is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as much, if not more, than yourself. Right? What's interesting is this, is I got neighbors out where I live. And Paul and Carolyn, every once in a while, my phone will ring and it says, neighbor Carolyn. That's all she's on my phone. And when the phone rings, I don't care what I'm doing, I answer that phone. Because I know if Carolyn's calling, there means one of two things. Either my dog's in her yard and she's scared of our dog, or something's happened to Paul and he needs help. So I always answer. Because I do my best to love Carolyn and be a good neighbor. She's called a couple times in tears. I don't know what to do, and I've gone to help her out. And one day, the other neighbor was down, and it was kind of interesting because he was down, and I said, I need your help. We need to go. And went down, and we helped Paul get up because Paul got down. It's a little act of love. It's a little bit of service, no big deal, right? Took 5 minutes in all. But are you willing to drop everything to help someone else, even if it doesn't benefit you a bit? Some of us go through life saying, well, I don't love myself or like myself that much, so it makes it easier to love and dislike all you all. But that's not the case, because we all really do love ourselves a lot. And if you want to believe that God loves you and puts you on a high pedestal, ask him to help you to love others like he does. Because that's one of the toughest things, Help me to see people as you see and love them like you do, Lord. It's going to be a rough week, but it'll be a good week. You see, we can't love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength without loving our neighbors like he does. Because loving God and loving others go hand in hand. You can't do one without doing the other. In 1 John 4:19 through 21, it says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he sees cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Those are some tough words. Not bad if you're an only child, but if you've got siblings, sometimes it gets difficult. If you come from a blended family, it gets to be a mess. It's all easier said than done. Because all of us are unlovable at times. And sometimes we want to retaliate against someone who has hurt us because it hurts. And it's easier to do that than love. But sometimes God is just asking us, "Do you love me enough to forgive them like I've forgiven you?" That's tough right there. That is tough. I don't know about you guys, but I've got the world's best mother-in-law. I say that because she is probably one of the best Christian examples I can find. Now, we just buried her husband of 25 years a few weeks back. I went over to visit yesterday morning and I caught her at the dining room table reading her Bible, of all things, at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. This woman who's buried two husbands who have died from cancer. Still trusting Jesus. And you know, that's not all of it. You see, she's what, 75? Going to be 76 this year. And, she just buried her second husband, and she's got to live out her days with what little she has, right? Through a glitch in the program, and I won't bore you with details, something got messed up in the paperwork from her husband's pension. Make sure you know what you've done and what exactly is said in that stuff, right? Because he had three kids from his first marriage, and mom's got three kids, and when they got together, they just made everything equal and said, when the last of us is dead, everything gets split six ways. Make it simple and easy and clean, right? Makes perfect sense. Some of you get remarried in your old age after someone has died. Just make sure it's all laid out perfectly and make sure a lawyer has gone over every detail, because something fell through the cracks, and part of the retirement plan of my father-in-law was stuck in this limbo land, which ended up going to his kids automatically. It wasn't little, folks. It was a lot. I'm not saying she didn't get upset, disappointed, or mad. Well, what I watched her do is say, "I can't do anything about this. You better consider this a blessing from God." And she told me yesterday, she said, "You know, they're not Christians. Maybe this will draw them closer to Jesus. How many of you could lose your security financially like that? Have it stripped out from under you because of a simple mistake, even though that was never the intention, and say, you know what? Maybe this will draw them to Jesus. That's loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, knowing you could trust him no matter what. And that's willing to even love those who have ripped you off of thousands and thousands of dollars and say, maybe God can use this to get you into heaven. Mother-in-law of the Year award there. Sorry, ladies. You're not my mother-in-law, so there you go. You see, doesn't matter what happens, Jesus has never changed on his command. In John 15, 12 through 13, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. No matter what. You see, ladies and gentlemen, love is a choice to completely give all of oneself to another for the betterment of that person without the guarantee of anything in return. And we are commanded to love others without compromising our faith, our morals, or contradicting God's will. You want to know what really satisfies the law for God? What's that one thing? It's love. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love everybody around you like you're doing it for him. With the mindset that maybe, just maybe, your love for that terrible person will get them into heaven because they're seeing Jesus for the first time. You know, I was coming home last night, half asleep, driving down the highway, and there was the big sign. You know, the one that they put up there that says, put down the hamburger and take hold of the wheel, drive safe. You know that sign? Those subliminal message they give you. They said, your kids are watching. What kind of message are you sending? I think they're trying to get me from texting while driving, you know? Every once in a while, if we watch close enough, someone who really loves Jesus, we might just catch them, even in the midst of their pain, face down in their Bible. Or doing the unthinkable of loving the unlovable because God loved them first and they love him most. May your kids, my kids, and other people catch you doing just that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word that kicks us and prods us, drags us sometime kicking and screaming back to the altar where we have to look at ourselves and say, is my all on the altar? And I also thank you for people like my mother-in-law who will be caught living a life of love, face down in your word. So much so that they will forgive the unforgivable, love the unlovable, and their faith is not fake, but it is real. May that kind of faith and love for you, God, burn in all of us. For love is truly the foundation, the one great thing that we must do. We must love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love everybody else more than ourselves. Lord, help us turn that around so that we can do just that. In Jesus' name we can, and we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song together. Question for you is this: do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? Are you and all that you have on the altar before him, and are you all his? Are you a living sacrifice fully surrendered and at his disposal? See, ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy, as a lot of people have made it seem. But it is easier than we make it. We just need to love them and love others and let other people catch in us do just that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us and showing us what love looks like by sending your Son into this world, where he loved us so much, he went to the cross to die for us, which proved ultimately his love for you. So, Lord, as we follow in his steps, may we love the unlovable and also love the most lovable, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We'll see you, folks. Have a good week. Don't forget, offering plates are at the doors on your way out. Take care.
Okay.